Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage. We are continuing the never-ending, near-award-winning What Mark Heard segment. So, Mark, share with us what you heard.
Let's hear from QB1. We've not heard from Justin Fields yet. He speaks once a week, and I have put together what I thought was about the best minute or so of Justin Fields' press conference. Take a listen.
Justin, both Matt and Flip are very complimentary of the rhythm you played with throughout Sunday's game. I'm curious what your assessment of that was and why you think it may have been a little bit more elevated than it had been.
Just more time. More games under my belt, more snaps. So the more and more snaps I get, just the more comfortable I get. Slows down a little bit.
Justin, last week you told us about the extra meetings you were having with wide receivers. Did anything out of those meetings translate onto the field? Did you see stuff work from those meetings?
Those meetings just, are for getting us on the same page and pretty much me relaying to them what I'm thinking, during this play or how I want them to run a certain route at a certain depth. So that's just, going to make our connection better and our chemistry better to make sure that myself and the receivers are all on the same page. So, yeah.
Justin, since going into the Bengals game to right now, where do you feel like you've made the most progress?
I'm not sure. I just feel like comfortable, like all around, just more confident in myself and just, going out there making plays and stuff like that. So I'm not sure like one specific area. I mean, I'm hoping all the areas, but I just feel way better, just in terms of my confidence and just my command of, the huddle and of the offense and kind of telling those guys where to go.
It's hard to pick up like what Justin Fields is passionate about during a press conference because he speaks in that kind of, that downtrodden
tone.
Yeah, no,
it's an excellent observation.
Right, so it's hard to pick up like what's real, and to me, what is real is that little part right there at the end after a Hallmarkish question, saying I just feel way better. Like that part resonated with me. That felt real, not him just trying to get through a press conference. It sounded like to feel since the Cincinnati game to feel way better. I think is really important in this case in terms of confidence and starting to see things. He's got a long way to go, but that's a step forward in my opinion.
So let me ask you this. That's an excellent point. Let me ask you this then. What substance do you put in the idea that he had his best game without Matt Nagy on the sidelines, knowing he's previously said what he liked about Bill Lazor is his calm, as if to suggest Matt Nagy can't do it that way and he doesn't respond well to the way Matt Nagy was doing it. He responds much better to Bill Lazor's play calling.
Well,
what do you put into what you saw last week?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't put any stock into that because it's been Bill Lazor. Bill Lazor has been the guy in his head, and Matt Nagy, believe it or not, has been playing the part of the head coach where he concerns himself with more than just the offense. And, you know, John DeFilippo is a guy he often speaks to, and I observe Justin Fields and John DeFilippo having some long conversations sitting on the bench. Matt Nagy's not in the ear of Justin Fields as much. So if this had been like a thing where Nagy was to miss multiple games, then maybe I would have read into it a little bit more deeply or analyzed what he might be doing better because the head coach is not there. But I know that Bears fans don't want to hear this, but I don't think Matt Nagy being gone had anything to do, like, directly with the success that Fields had in moments last week.
What did you make of Jim Schwantz earlier when we talked to him? He talked about the meetings, the idea, the talking, the whatever you're doing, greaseboarding, whatever you're doing. He put no stock in anything. It's all reps. It's doing it on the field. That's the only way you get better. That's the only way you establish a rapport. And in the course of that cut, Justin Fields said he thought there was some progress and everybody's getting on the same page, which is a whole bunch of, you know, word salad cliche like that. What did you make of what you heard from Justin Fields based on what Jim Schwantz said?
Well, you know, Justin Fields has been, when he was asked about Jesse James, that, like, what, hey, what's clicking with you guys? And Fields said, we built up, I don't know if he used these exact words, but what he was saying was that he built up a good rapport with Jesse James when? In training camp. Because he had to work with not the first stringer, not the second string tight end, but the third string tight end. And we all notice it watching training camp out there every day in the heat. Like, it's like, okay, who's, oh yeah, Jesse James, that's right, the Bears. And Jesse James signed with the Bears in July. Like, it was either right before camp or right in the midst of it. And all of a sudden, you know, all these guys, he was, you know, we're learning about Rodney Adams. We're learning about Jesse James. We didn't learn about Justin Fields and Allen Robinson or Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet or any of those guys for that matter. So that is the process that's occurring now to some degree, like working on knowing tendencies. And that's like a real thing when you talk to quarterbacks and receivers, like knowing what to anticipate about what a receiver might do helps a lot. And you do learn that stuff in training camp and practice.
And learning, I still don't think he's learned what a receiver looks like when he's open in the NFL and always looks covered. Because, you know, the mailbox window quote from DeFilippo this week, right? That was a mailbox throw. And, and that looked like, to me, that's kind of progress. That's as big as you're going to get other than some busted coverage and the guy's 20 yards past the safeties. And that's different than what most of the throws you're going to need, especially in the red zone. That was progress to me. And maybe we all saw a step that he's now identifying what an open receiver looks like in the NFL. And that would translate to Allen Robinson, who always believes he's open. And with all the contesting catches, he's got a good argument.
I also thought that play to Jesse James is, it's a faith restorer. If you're watching Justin Fields and you're a little worried, like, is he going to work out? Is he not as good as we thought he would? And then he does that, and you're like, okay. It's like, all right, I can take the overthrow here, the bad slide there, the, you know, poor decision to not go out about, you know, whatever the case may be, because that's what I was told about. Like, if you're a Bears fan and you're watching that, you're like, okay, that's what everybody was telling me about. That's an elite throw, and also a damn good catch by Jesse James. It's funny, like, when he's made these, like, plays, it's always him, and never mind Jesse James making a diving, but never mind Jesper Horsted being guarded by four people in that one preseason game. But so those guys have made good plays as well. But, yeah, to see plays like that, some of the running plays now, and finally last week, really using his athleticism, because that's driven me crazy this year.
Yeah.
That the one thing that we thought would would come right away would be the athleticism, and it hasn't. Like, he has not been able to play at his own speed, so to speak, and I think he finally did for the first time last week, so that was really encouraging, too.
I good point. I want to see that more design run. I mean, Juan has been asking for more design runs. We all have, but he's been really loud about it. It seems, you know, when you hear it, somehow whatever we say, when it gets echoed by Wani or Olin or whatever, you hear somebody who has been in there in the locker room, who's had a nose in the playbook, you go, ah, so I'm not totally stupid. I might be stupid, but not totally. And right. They need to see that. And you wonder where the other guys, the guys in charge of coaching this kid, have been. And everybody's got a different plan, idea, a way to bring out the talent without jeopardizing his health, but that's part of what the jeopardy is, part of what makes him dangerous and makes defenses retrench a little bit, makes them think, might give him extra time to find an open receiver and not have 1.8 seconds in which to run for his life.
Yeah, and I think too, from the coaching perspective, they all had to kind of shift on the move when the Bears pulled the surprise party and Matt Nagy, after being so glued to Andy Dalton and not moving off of that. And then all of a sudden he did. And he said, well, you know, the injury changed it. Yeah, whatever. You know, I think the pressure is just from all ends got to him about Justin Fields. They started him and it was like, okay, throw away the big Andy Dalton book. Let's get out. Let's do some cramming now for Justin Fields. And they had a little taste of him, but none of these coaches, considering the plan, was truly prepared to coach Justin Fields as soon as they did. So, unfortunately, they're trying to figure it out, too.
That sounds like a failure to me. It's not like it was a surprise to Justin Fields. Once he was on your roster, if you needed two playbooks, two game plans, if you needed two lines of thinking, you take this, you take that, we share with the class. You know, the old, I saw this in the paper chase 40 years ago, whenever it was. It was, everybody took you do real estate, you constitutional law, you do contracts, and then you come back and you share your 500-page outline with the rest of us in this study group, and that's how it goes. And I can't believe that they wouldn't have been up on that, because it could have happened. They kept saying it could happen at any moment. He could have been put in at any moment, and he was put in at any moment. So that sounds like a failure.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a failure or just the idea of having a rookie quarterback and trying to learn exactly at the NFL level what he's capable of, because all those coaches obviously knew and know what he did well at Ohio State. But let's face it, it hasn't translated at the NFL level. And that's because the Bears are not playing a bunch of cream puff teams like in the case of Ohio State, where not all cream puffs, obviously, but their talent was decidedly better than most of their opponents.
So do you have a Sean Desai?
Yes.
For us?
Yes. Sean Desai, after the beating the Bears, give it up close to
7,000 points,
yards.
I think. Yeah.
Last week, we talked to Sean Desai about his defense last week and going forward.
Yeah, you know, the biggest concern, there's a couple things. Too many explosive plays. That's not who we want to be, and we want to tackle better, and that's part of the effort and the mindset going into that. So those are the two big takeaways, and, you know, I would agree with you. It wasn't a good day, and I would take it a step further. Really, we played 11 minutes of bad football in the second half. We gave up 9 in the first half, and one of those was the 2-minute end of half off the explosive that we still held them to a field goal, but you don't even give up that explosive, and it's probably another punt. You know, so it's 6 points there. The second half, though, not 11 minutes when we were on the field, was bad football. And that starts with me. It's going to end with me, you know. And the players know where they're accountable and where they can execute better. And like I said, I know where I'm accountable and I can execute better, and the staff does as well, and we will be better than that. That was our worst 11 minutes of football that we played this year.
The worst. So it goes from bad to the worst 11 minutes of football that the Bears have played, and I'm not here to disagree with him.
No, but I mean, you go back to the Tampa game, and that was the only reason that would be San Francisco would be the worst is San Francisco hadn't won in like 40 days, and they were it lost four in a row, and they and the Bears were at home as opposed to having facing Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champions.
Hey,
where you look
Tampa
like crap
Bay
from
was
the start.
Also the worst. Two performances were the worst. So there's two worst performances.
I would say also, like, not that the defense didn't play poorly against Tampa, but the defense was also put in a lot of bad positions against Tampa. Like, you give Tom Brady the ball on the other team's 40-yard line five times, he's going to score five touchdowns. And that's basically what happened.
But if you go to Sunday, the Bears, the Niners went 75 yards twice and more than 50 on another one, all in the second half, and didn't even need 3 minutes on any of those drives. So, didn't have much to do with it.
I think on at least one of those, they didn't even see a third down. Like, they just walked down the field.
And a third and 19. Well, they saw a third down on third and 19, and it went for 83 yards.
Yeah.
Like,
after
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
After that. I think it was, like, the drive after that, because, like, the Niners scored there.
Yeah.
And then the next drive, I think they didn't see a third down. There, maybe it was the one after that. I can't remember.
So now that the Bears' defense is as bad as the Bears' offense, does that mean Ryan Pace's work here is done? Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
By the way, the third and 19, too, that all came so close to being stopped right away. If Robert Quinn's big paw had been just a couple of inches the other way and knocked that pass down. And I will say, everybody was blocked well, and I talked about this with Lance Briggs last night, but part of being an NFL defender is, shedding a block. Somebody needs to get off of their block and tackle this man. And the only one that did was DeAndre Houston Carson, and even he was coming at it from a deficit until the 1 yard line.
But it also looked like the way that play developed, it looked like everyone on the defense thought someone else was going to tackle him, which is just the wrong mentality to have. If you're on the field on defense, your mentality should always be, I'm going to go tackle the ball carrier. Like, you got to rely on your. Especially once he's on the open field like that. Like, yeah, you have to stay your gap and do your job initially, but once the play is, like, free, go get him. Don't assume someone else is going to get him.
It's funny, like, I was talking to Briggs about that last night, and that was the love or hate Lovie Smith. That was the mentality of that defense. Part of why those defenses were so good, not just having really talented, skilled players, which they did, Hall of Fame style, but they love to swarm to the football. That those teams love to tackle, and they were good at forcing turnovers. And the Bears, except for 2018, this defense, they have not been good at forcing turnovers. So, there needs to be a better mentality about tackling and not assuming the other guy's going to do it.
Speaking of forcing turnovers, I think this week was the anniversary of the Mike Brown pick, the second pick. I think it was the second.
Oh,
the
my
Cleveland,
God.
Was the that, Cleveland game.
Oh, the
November
Cleveland
4th,
game. Okay.
I think, was the Cleveland game. Yeah.
That was like the 2001, right? 2001, was that? Yeah, right? 2001?
I forgot the year. I don't know.
I think it's 2001.
That's 2001. Picks like that, and then him saying, it's like we suck. And I just, that's Mike Brown.
Honestly, those are two of my favorite Bears games of all time. The walk-off San Fran and actually a delightful season until the Philadelphia Eagles came along and just destroyed Jim Miller.
That season's the season that made me a Bears fan. Fun fact.
You still got your Ahmad Merritt jersey?
What jersey?
Your Ahmad Merritt jersey?
Ahmad Merritt.
Oh, no. I have an Anthony Thomas jersey, though. That was my first Bears jersey. The A-Train.
Do you have a How about a Warwick Holdman?
No, I don't. I think Anthony Thomas is my oldest / slightly most random Bears jersey. Although I do have Bernard Berrien also.
Did A-Train replace James Allen that year? Was that right? Didn't Allen start the year and then A-Train became undeniable?
I think it was maybe something. I don't know. I can't remember. I was 11 years old at the time.
It wasn't because A-Train did not start. Like, he was not the, I don't think he was the starting running back. But every time he came in, he would, like, run off, like, 7 and 8 yard chunks, and he became undeniable. And then I think he was Rookie of the Year, and then I think we never heard from
him. Yeah, he was Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then I feel like the next year he was maybe hurt or didn't have as good of a year. He did have another 1,000-yard season in, like, 03 maybe. So, but then after that, he was just kind of gone.
With the Bears?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have to double check. Also, real quick, guys, the Bears injury report for today is out.
Let's hear it, buddy.
Khalil Mack is out for Monday.
There you go.
Eddie Jackson is doubtful. So, basically, out. Also, Darnell Mooney, questionable after he had limited participation for a second day in a row. Nick Foles is out, apparently.
Well, yeah.
With what?
Like, really? Out. He's got a non-injury personal illness is the designation.
Yeah.
JP Holt's out with a concussion. Alec Ogletree, questionable, didn't practice today, so he's probably out. And Damian Williams is out.
Okay, what's the, does it say the injury next to Darnell Mooney's name?
On groin.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Interesting. All right. So no surprises, really.
The Steelers standpoint, Tomlin said Roethlisberger is going to play despite the shoulder injury. So there you go. That's okay. So now you know what's important and build your Monday night around all that.
That's right. I nailed it, by the way. The A-Train Anthony Thomas had a 1,000-yard season in 2003.
Oh, God, I would not have even thought about that.
Jersey. All right,
well, they won like 3 games that year, I think. So maybe 4. So, yeah, it was a forgettable year.
The ending of Dick Chiron, basically.
Right.
Beginning of the ending, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was Lovey's first year was 2004, right? So yeah, that would have been it.
What a weird existence. Because wasn't 2001 Chiron's first year?
I thought that was 2000. I went to check now. Oh, the Bears were 7-9 in 2003. Oh, how about that?
Oh man, and they won 13 games, I think, in 2001, in that delightful.
Yeah, they did. And then that was the Eagles game at home. They lost right after the Bulls lost to Michael Jordan and his return with the Wizards.
Oh, my God. Yep, I worked at the NBC Tower that day. Yep, I remember.
That was it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have some stuff about Bears owner Aaron Rodgers. I have a couple verses of a song parody I'm going to sing about the Bears.
Ooh. And
we have stuff we're going to do. Because we're getting paid to do it. We also have, Mark, you will love this because there's a reason to bring back one of your favorite impressions from the movie Major League.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Yes, we'll do that before we get out of here at 2:00, making room for Rami Makhlouf. Right now, we're Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Oh, man. Adam's the man, man. You know, Adam, you never know what you're going to get when you show up. He's like a box of chocolate.
Is that you, Adam? Is that you, Trash Panda?
Yeah, that's Owen Cruz referring to me.
That is Owen Cruz talking about our producer, Trash Panda. Yeah, yes. Welcome in. Welcome back. Saturday Suckage. Mark Rohde, Steve Rosenblum. We're here till 2 o'clock. So, Mark, I was compelled to write these lyrics. And
yes. Been waiting hours and hours and hours for this.
Yeah. And the title of the song would be Only the Bears Are This Dumb. Words by Steve Rosenblum. Music by Billy Joel. I can't carry a tune. So okay. It would be Only the Good Die Young. That would be the tune. You'll have to hear that in your head. Come on, Virginia, don't make us wait. Don't shovel crap about collaborate. Sooner or later, you got a can pace. Hurry up and get it done. He showed you a quarterback, hoped you'd be glad. Then he gave him to a coach who's historically bad. Now the Bears' defense just keeps getting pantsed. Can't even stop the run. Only the Bears are this dumb. That's what I said. Only the Bears are this dumb. Only the Bears are this dumb. You might have heard Ted and George after last year. A 6-game losing streak was something to cheer. Everyone in Green Bay is raising a beer because only the Bears are that dumb. So come on, Virginia, show us a sign that you're not telling fans to kiss your behind. Get pissed off again because it's long past time to whack Ted and find a new son. Darling, only the Bears are that dumb. Whoa. Oh, I tell you, Jenny, only the Bears are that dumb. So that's what I have for you. That's my song.
That's incredible.
Those are the lyrics. I think you get the point.
I like hearing Steve Rosenblum's signature words in his lyrics. Pissed
Selling
off.
It.
Dumb.
Silent. Yeah, that's it. So there you go. Only the Bears are that dumb.
I would buy your album. And I think that if you do an album, I think we got to work on John. I think thrash metal is probably the way for you to go, man, because we could work all your words in there.
Snark metal.
Yo, I'm just connecting dots, bro.
Yeah. Snark metal. Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
Snark metal.
Snark metal.
Yeah. I think we're on to a new genre.
Stevie Sunshine. Yeah. Let me ask you a personal question, Steve, if I may. I'm going to. How's the book, buddy?
The book is nearing an end of the whatever might be the 4th or 6th or 17th draft. It is getting there. It is the end is in sight, and the I'm at a crossroads now about how I could go one of two ways, but I really like where this is going, so I'm going to write what I think.
Good.
Thank you for asking. I think this...
Can't wait.
I don't know. It's going to get written. I have no idea if it'll ever get published, but it's going to get written.
Can we...
Well, hey, man, you just keep writing songs like that, and you're going to be
a starving artist will do that. And I know there's a way to strip out the words and just get the music, I guess, but Trash Panda wasn't in the studio, it wasn't in the station since Wednesday, and I'm never at the station. I don't know how that would get done. Is there a way to do that the same way we do this remotely?
Or do you want, like, you're talking about the instrumental version of the song, so I could see if that's out there,
yeah,
right? But, I mean,
no.
Had you given me a heads up that you were going to, what the song was, I could have looked for it.
I don't think so, because see, when you use Billy Joel's music and or words or a reference, it tends not to go well for you if it's not Billy Joel doing it. Weird Al, I don't know if you remember this, but he was going to put on an album. One of the songs was going to be It's Still Billy Joel to Me. That was the title of it. I don't know if you remember this. What's the matter with the songs I'm singing? Don't you know they all sound the same? It was stuff like that. And the song was It's Still Billy Joel to Me. And given Billy Joel's, or given his lawyers, Weird Al decided not to go ahead with it because he didn't think he would get the okay and didn't want the court fight.
Well, the thing with what Weird Al does, Weird Al, like, you can do what he does because it's all parody, and because it's parody, you don't need to have the rights. Now, he does, from what I've read, he does get permission from the artists to do the songs just because that's, like, he thinks it's just courteous, but he doesn't need to do that because it falls under parody, so it's not a copyright infringement or whatever. Like, it's not stealing intellectual property. Not stealing intellectual property.
But they wrote the music.
Well, no, because you're changing the lyrics and you're doing a parody of the song. So that falls under, like, whatever, like, the copyright or whatever, the rights. Like, they own the right to that song, right? The intellectual property. But because you're doing a parody of it and you're changing the lyrics, it is not a violation of that.
Wow, check out the big brain on Trash Panda.
I paid attention in broadcasting class.
I'm just thinking about
it. We actually had a whole class about this. I had to pay attention.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, we had it was broadcast media law, and I still have the book. It's the only book I kept from college because it was so useful. We had quizzes every Friday, and I was hungover for every single one.
Damn, man.
Sweet.
I just like thinking about Weird Al Yankovic going up to Michael Jackson and saying, hey, man, here's what I'm thinking. I know your song is called Beat It. I'd like to do a song called Eat It. That's what I'm going to do. And it's going to be all about eating. How's that sound? And Michael is just like, yeah, that sounds great, man. Or Queen.
Is that your Michael Jackson impression?
just come on up here. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, if you want to do that song, go ahead. That's totally cool with me. Yeah. Well, thank you, Michael. And then he can go up to Queen and say, that song you guys have, Another One Bites the Dust. Here's what I'm thinking for your song. Another One Rides the Bus. So, and then, you know, I don't do a Freddie Mercury, unfortunately.
Why not? You do everybody else.
I can't even picture. Phrase. I can't even, like, think of his voice in my head, like his speaking voice. And I certainly am not going to attempt to do his singing voice. But so I'll just stick with Michael for now.
Right, this sounds more like Mickey Mouse than Michael Jackson.
I know, it totally does. Totally does.
Well, or like one of the gambling experts. I texted Dustin one time. The Mully and Haw gambling experts. Too many of them sound like Muppets. And that's what you just sounded like, Mark. Like Muppets. They're coming on. All right.
Mark Grody is a Muppet.
Here's Elmo the Edge with today's hot tip.
Do you guys like my song Thriller? It was a really awesome album. It was really cool and stuff. Yeah. So I took the wrong drugs. Feel bad.
Great.
Jesus.
It's a little bit Stewie-ish, too. A little bit.
You
gonna write your novel? You gotta have a beginning and an end. You gotta keep doing.
Yeah, when he gets the really high pitched voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Gonna have a plot. Gonna have an antagonist. Gonna have a protagonist. Yep. Yeah.
Are we gonna? I really want to promote the book if it does get published. I want to bring back the idea that Grody had like a year ago, where we line up all of the people that have ever had a problem with Steve Rosenblum, and they get to do the dunk tank. I think that'd be a great way to promote the book.
That could be years.
I love it. Like, people like plan their drive. I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. And, Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He wants connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
I'd be in favor of an article from 1991. Like, I'm going to get this guy.
Right. Jerry Reinsdorf is in line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know what? If you buy a book, you can throw the ball and I'll be in the dunk tank.
Yeah, that'll be the promotion.
If you were to buy a copy of it.
That'll be the promotion.
Sure, man. The Steve Rosen move.
I'm in favor of that idea. I'll wear my Daisy Dukes. I'll look the way they did on whatever that ABC show was.
everybody's like, what's going on Michigan? What's going on Michigan Avenue? Oh, it's the Steve Rosenblum dunk tank. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I do. Where do I get a ticket? Yeah. Well, no, you actually have to have a piece of copy that insults you because of something he wrote over the years.
Right, exactly. You just stay safe in those suburbs, Steve.
I'd be in favor of that. You know what? I'd vote for that.
All right.
Yes.
I wanted to share this because I think it's such a kick for if you've been following the story of Bears owner Aaron Rodgers. So yes. Rex Chapman, he's the king of Twitter, right? We can pretty much agree with that. He's wonderful.
Great videos. Great videos.
Yeah. Right. Well, here's what he wrote. Here's what he tweeted out yesterday. My dad was in a car wreck a few days ago. 77, ankle surgery, screws, hardwire, bumps, bruises, scratches. Home resting now, tough dude. When we couldn't reach Joe Rogan for treatment options and guidance, we allowed orthopedic surgeons and anesthesiologists to perform surgery. I don't know who Kennedy Landry is. I know that she covers the Texas Rangers for MLB.com. But in the course of, as we've seen the Twitter cycle, and we've seen what happens in instances like what the Twitty-it of the day, which would be Aaron Rodgers, and we've seen the way this, somebody has to move the runners over. And I would consider this from Kennedy Landry exactly that. Her tweet was, quoting Rodgers, I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now, and there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run, so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. That's so good. And that has to be part of it. I saw this from New York Times reporter Usted Herndon, and he tweeted, have we considered the possibility that Aaron Rodgers is Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend?
Oh.
How good is that? Yeah.
So good.
See, now we're connecting the dots. There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that in your book.
You know who Ken Tremendous is, right?
Yes.
That's an alias for?
The dude
from Mike Schur.
Yeah.
Who is the erstwhile broadcast partner of Jason Benetti. Jason was with him. He was the Mike Schur was the producer and writer for The Office, co-creator of Parks and Rec, right?
Yeah.
And he goes,
I remember when he did the game with Benetti, right?
And he's great. And Ken Tremendous was the I think it was Fire Joe Morgan was his website, and he's just hysterical. So he tweeted out, I'm not just some lemming. I'm a critical thinker. I do my own research. So when the former host of Fear Factor tells me to eat some paste that treats bacterial infections in horses, well, yeah, I'm going to take that seriously. By the way, let me run this idea by you.
Yeah, go ahead.
E! Online reported that Mike Schur was bringing to life a series. I suppose, I don't know, it was TV or streaming, but something like that. A series in your living room based on Field of Dreams.
Oh. Delightful.
I assume that there'll be a guest shot in the finale by Tim Anderson. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, my God. The stalk off Homer.
Yeah.
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 Stalk off.
So.
Did you ever hear that, by the way? Stalk off?
That's the first time I've heard it.
I know. No. I caught it reading one of the Sox articles over the last couple of days, and I don't remember anybody saying stalk off home run. And I thought that was it might have been Merkin. That's so good. A stalk
it sounds
off
like a Merkin
homer.
Word.
Yeah.
It feels
or is
like,
it really
it feels
bad?
Like something Merkin.
Does that suck? Stock off? Because I thought it was brilliant, but I think it's clever. Actually cheesy? It's you clever. Think it's clever?
Well, that's good. I like that.
Stock off Homer.
I mean, the whole concept of the game was cheesy, you know? Like, it's not...
Yeah,
you know,
that's so true. Was that the best moment of the year for the White Sox, or was it the Rodon no-hitter?
Mm. Personally?
I think the stock off Homer. I think the stock off Homer. That was brilliant
I
that
think
night.
Oh, man.
Right?
Personally, because,
no?
like, I remember the stock off was... I think I put them really close because, like, the Rodon no hitter was like, I just remember that was so cool because, like, it felt so good to, I mean, not just to see a pitcher for your team throw a no hitter and, you know, a near perfect game, but, like, for it to be Rodon of all guys, you know, the guy
that
had been through all that.
You're talking about that story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for him to have, like, and you just, like, I just remember feeling so just happy for Carlos Rodon. Like, it was just this unbridled joy. I was like, man, good for him. You know, like, that's just awesome. But the stock off was just, like, a really cool, like, because it, you know, was beating the Yankees, too, and there was this whole the whole storyline about the Sox not being able to beat good teams. So they're really close to me.
Yeah, and not to mention, what was it, Liam Hendricks who struggled in that game that was given up?
Liam Hendricks gave up the two-run homer that gave the Yankees the lead.
Yeah, because it looked so dire, and then all of a sudden, here's Tim Anderson for you. Good night, everybody. So, I would vote for that, just on the overall. But, of course, like in terms of like individual career achievements, great story, it's Rodon. Yeah.
By the way, you Trash Panda, you bring up the whole couldn't meet good teams and the Yankees. I mean, that was the most dramatic moment, I think. I think Rodon was the best story that kept building and building, but the stock off homer. When you bring up the can't be good teams, the Braves, your World Series champions, were 31-37 against teams with a winning record last year.
How about that?
Or this season. So just a matter of when you do it. When you get hot. And we saw that's when they got hot. They beat everybody with it. They beat every team had like a 1,000 wins that they beat. So, just when you do
it. Pretty incredible. And then the Sox choked.
Yes, they did.
God, they did.
And, yeah, and they didn't learn anything from last year. Okay. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a real-life moment, a real-life comparison to Major League that Mark will be interested to hear, and a couple other audio pieces that played out during the week. So, we want to bring you that before we close the show. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey-spoony before.
Sure. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Second, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So, Mark, there was this I so thought of you. I so thought of us. Joel Sherman of the New York Post, baseball reporter, tweeted this out recently. A report that the Mets have put former Pirates first baseman Dorian Boyland on growing short list led to a pleasant conversation with Boyland, who told me no contact with the New York Mets, no interest in the job. Mark, here's the reason he doesn't have any interest in the job.
Okay.
He said he is happy to run his car dealerships.
I know where
you're
going.
What in Major League does that remind you of, Mark?
Oh, I don't know. I got these tires to sell.
Tire World.
Oh, look. This is Charlie Donovan with the Cleveland Indians.
How would you like to manage the Indians this year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you, Charlie? I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
That's right, it's the white wall. I got a guy on the other line. Shut up, Dorn.
That's it. So the guy, the Mets, nobody wants the Mets job. I can't believe that, but it was so funny. The guy said, I'm happy running my car dealerships.
It's so perfect. You want this $3 million a year job? I don't know. I got a guy I'm talking to about selling some white walls. Good. So good. So good. So, thank you.
So last Sunday, was Halloween, right? And I declare that Steve Buscemi won Halloween. I don't know if you saw this.
No.
So you know the Steve Buscemi meme, right? You familiar with this?
Refresh me. Maybe I don't.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Right? How do you do, fellow kids?
Gotcha.
Steve, he's wearing, he's his old man. It comes from 30 Rock episode where he's a private detective and he goes undercover. He talked about going undercover at a high school because he has such boyish looks, which of course is the joke. He doesn't. How do you do, fellow kids? And he's doing this with Alec Baldwin and Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy and Liz Lemon. So it becomes a meme when someone's just on the interwebs. So Halloween, there's a picture of Steve Buscemi sitting out front of his home holding a wooden bowl, dressed in a backwards hat. He's dressed like the guy who says, with a red hat, red sweatshirt, red hoodie, unzipped, "How do you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow kids?"
And he's holding it, and he's handing out candy on Halloween.
You know what's so great about this is that I am just watching 30 Rock for the first time because it's on Netflix, and I'm
really
just at the part. Yeah, it's so good. This is like one of those shows where, why didn't anybody tell me how hilarious this show was? It's so funny. It's such a great, well-written show, and Tracy Morgan is just and Alec Baldwin, they're all great. It's just such a good show. I am thoroughly enjoying 30 Rock.
Yeah, the writing is so sharp. It's just brilliant, and you have to watch it again just to catch the stuff you know you missed.
Exactly.
I have one last piece of audio for you, but first, Carl Quintanilla, our favorites, because he is just such a movie head. He's just such a maniac about it. But there was something going around the interwebs about if you could pick one song to listen to for the very first time again, which one would you choose and why? And he chose Alive by Your Guys.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Who chose that?
Carl Quintanilla of CNBC. He's the one we've done some of the movie background stuff, he's come up with wonderful facts. This was outstanding. It was Matthew McConaughey's birthday, and Carol Quintanilla got him on there. And if you're a Wolf of Wall Street fan, if you've seen the movie, you know the character he played and the mechanic, the tick that he had, the chest thumping thing. Do you remember that from Matthew McConaughey's character in Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes, of course. Yeah, very short performance, and they're having the cocktails, right? Yep.
He explains how it came about. I never heard this story. Here it is.
Can I get the definitive breakdown of how, yes, exactly, of how that moment got caught on camera?
Well, I mean, it was one of those characters in a scene that when I first read it, I was like, whoa, this is a doozy, fugazi, fugazi. This character's wonderfully out of his mind. And I was like, well, what if he really believes this? And so I started interviewing different brokers from that time, et cetera, et cetera. And I started extending the scene and writing more things that this my character might say and do. And Leonardo and I do the scene. Scene's great. Before each scene, I'm banging on my chest. For myself, it's a relaxation technique, right? And then when we start the scene, I quit doing that and I do the scene. So we do the scene 5 times, we've got it, we're moving on. Leonardo's idea was he raises his hand, he goes, what's that thing you're doing before the scene where you're beating on your chest? I told him. And he goes, what if you did that in the scene? And so I said, sure, next take, that's what you see.
That's amazing, dude.
It is. All right, I love that. So we are going to be out of here. We want to thank Jim Schwantz for joining us, Josh Nelson. We talked some football, baseball. We want to thank Trash Panda for rejoining us. Mark Grody will bring you Bears stuff tomorrow, Monday. It will be all Bears, all Mark Grody on this station on WBBM. And if nobody important listened, like we always say, if nobody important listened to this show, we'll be back next Saturday. So you have a good Bears game, Mark. Who you picking?
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend, buddy. I'm already.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.